Welcome to the Pneuma Church podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we all grow deep in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy this message.
Welcome to Pneuma East. If you're visiting for the very first time, it's great, great, great to have you here. We are starting a new series, so to speak, for this month, and it's going to be our prophetic month. So we've got some great stuff lined up when it comes to the weeks ahead. We've got our prophet in the house, Prophet Roma, who will be speaking next week. So make sure you don't miss it. And then we have a guest speaker on the 28th of April coming in. Also prophets, so that's going to be amazing. So invite friends, invite family. Let's use these opportunities to get our community involved, yep. But I want to invite Wei. Where's Wei? Wei, you're coming. Come, brother. Wei is new to our family, new to the Pneuma East family, and I just want to, as we kick off this series, I just want him to come and firstly share his testimony of how he experienced the clear call, him and his family, and direction from God to come and be part of Pneuma East. So first of all, thank you for being here. Secondly, thank you for your heart and your willingness. Thank you for your obedience to God as well. And you will hear his obedience in as we go forth. So, but go ahead, share with us today your testimony of how you experienced that clear call.
Okay. Firstly, thank you, church. Thank you, Pastor JJ, for this opportunity. And it's really an honor. So in last year, I just came back overseas from an overseas trip. And what happened was we normally go to our church, but for some reason or circumstance, we weren't able to. So my wife goes, let's visit Pneuma East. And so I come here and I step into this place and I feel the presence of God. And I'm like, what's going on? Something interesting is happening and stirring. And then after that, I pretty much in my heart, I heard the words, make room, make room. And so I said, make room. I've made room for a lot of things already. I've given a lot up. With three kids and everything, I've really put a lot down. And the kids are not old. They're young as well. So that was what happened. And then I was like, okay, God, if it's meant to be, you'll keep on speaking. And so the next service we came was the second service. And it was the graduation of the kids.
December.
Yes.
December.
December. Yeah. I'm not clear with the dates at the moment, but
yeah.
December.
Yeah, December.
And I saw the kids out there, and then God says, generations. I heard the voice say, generations. It's in the heart, not an audible voice, but generations. So I was like, make room for the generations.
Come on.
So I was like, wow. So God, okay. I said, I'm not doing anything because I've been in my church for 25 years. So I was like, I'm not doing anything. I'm just going to make sure that you send the signs. And so I have a dream. And when I had this dream, what happened was in the dream, literally I was in the dream, I was with my old previous people. And then all of a sudden God pulls me out from the dream to walk on a path. Well, I was walking on a path outside. And then what happened was, as I walk on a path, another senior leader came up to me. And then it rained. And that's all. I had the dream and then it stopped. So I was like, okay, I may need to make some moves. And so I call up my senior leader and I say to them, I want to have a meeting. Now, on the day of the meeting, it was a really sunny day. It wasn't raining at all. We got into the meeting. The moment the meeting starts, it rains.
Wow.
For 2 minutes.
Wow.
And then it stops. And then it rains again. And then it stops. And that was it. No more rain anymore. And then I knew in my heart, I said, this is it. That was it. That was what it was. And then at that moment, I said, okay, so we know we need to move, but when do we move? And what happened was my wife gets a dream. So we were saying, well, let's explore, because my wife is, we've been here a long time. You don't want to just move. You don't just lift off your kids and everything. So my wife has a dream, and inside the dream, James the Apostle comes up to speak. And it's not a coincidence that I'm sitting next to a James again today. Like, I was sitting up there, and up there was the number 20, which is what I'm about to share about 20 as well. But I'm sitting next to James. So James was on my case. So I was reading James. I was like, okay, God, what are you saying? He goes, do not be double-minded, but move according to what I'm telling you.
Wow. Wow.
I went, okay, fine. I surrender. Wow. And we're here now.
Yeah, come on. Welcome, Way. Welcome, Way. What a testimony. And you'll understand where we are going to with all of this because this, as we unpack in the message. But Way, you also move prophetically. You have, I believe, would be a prophetic mantle on your life. And last week, I was busy leaving, and Way runs up to me, and he starts giving me this prophetic word. I'm going, wait. This is after the 11 o'clock service. My brain is fried. Write it down. I'm not going to remember a thing. So he sent it to me. And this is a prophetic word for the house. For the house. It was for Pneuma East. And I'd love you to share that prophetic word. And I'll fill in where, like I did last time.
Yep. So the word that I got was, you are a house, a city on a hill that is not hidden, but meant to shine. And I hear for Pneuma East that you have gone through seasons of transitions, and there have been a season of toiling and hardship, and there's been longing. And it's not coincidence that you are situated in 20 George Street.
That's the current address.
This is the current address. And I was also sitting on number 20, which I didn't try to do it. So that was the first service. And so what happened was, 20 George Street, the name George means farmer. It means toil. It means working hard. It means performance. It means driving. But guess where you're going to? You're going to 20 Joseph Street. And 20 Joseph Street, Joseph says God is going to increase. And he's going to increase. And it's not just increase on finances. It's provisions across the board in every part of your life, in every facet of it. And I hear the Lord say it's also for your facilities as well, because I am creating you to be that light, to shine into the darkness. And I hear the Lord say this is our purpose and the assignment, because we are here to reach the lost, the broken, the fatherless, and those that are disappointed, because I'm going to reappoint you from your disappointments into the kingdom assignments and purposes of God. That is what is happening. And I also feel and sense, this wasn't in the first word, but I feel, and I need to go by what God is saying, there's a sense of creativity and innovation in this house. And it's about to seed up and start up. So be ready. When you step into that door, you will know, because God has said, you are the ones that are called.
Amen.
Bless you, church.
Yeah, hold on, just go on. 2020.
Oh, yes.
Important.
Yes, very important. So yes, and God said 2020 is full vision. The full vision of this is to establish this. This is what's the mandate on you. That is the 2020 vision, and it's the weaving of the generations together to see this happen. It is not just generations, but it is a house of legacy with God. Amen. And the kingdom of God.
Amen. 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 Come on. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you right now. We thank you for Way. We thank you for his obedience. And we pray, Father God, in the name of Jesus, that you will seal this with the blood of Jesus and the power of Holy Spirit. We choose to partner with this word, and we're expectant about 20 Joseph Street, Lord. We thank you, Father, that it's going to be a good season. Good season in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thanks, Way. Let's hear it up for Way. Fantastic. Fantastic. Prophetic living. This is what we're talking about. We're talking about in the next couple of months, we're talking about prophetic living. Next couple of weeks, sorry. And today, I've got two scriptures that I want to read from. The first scripture is Amos 3:7. So if you've got your Bibles, get your Bibles out. Amos 3:7. And the second scripture is 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1 to 5. Now, they're going to be on the board. Amos 3:7 says that, surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets. Very good scripture. Surely the sovereign Lord does nothing. He does nothing without revealing his plan to his servants, the prophets, like we've just heard. 1 Corinthians 14, verses 1 to 5, the New King James Version says, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. Say prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit he speaks mysteries. Verse 3. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church. I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks in tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church may receive edification. Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for your word. Holy Spirit, I pray right now in the name of Jesus that you will come and that you will open our ears to hear, our hearts to receive. I thank you that the word is here and that, Holy Spirit, you will use this word to convict us and release us into our destiny in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. I have titled this message, Understanding Prophetic Living. That's what we're talking about. We are people with purpose, people of purpose. We're here to edify one another. We're here to train one another up. And we are here to be people with prophetic living. Who knows that our community currently that we're in needs edification, exhortation, and comfort? Yes? Who knows that people in this house, in this body, people who call themselves Pneuma East, sons and daughters of God, they need edification, they need encouragement, they need exhortation, they need to be built up, and they need comfort. Prophecy is a tool in your belt that God can use to penetrate the most hardened heart you will ever come across. Prophecy is another tool. God gives us tool on tool on tool on tool to use to bring his kingdom to earth. What do I mean by this? You see, when you understand the prophetic, what it is and how it functions, and you are in an intimate relationship with God, he can then prompt you at any time to speak into the life of a person using the situation that only he knows, that he reveals to you. To reveal what? The sovereignty of God. Which then comes and it edifies and it exhorts and it comforts that person, allowing God to bring hope or breakthrough to the situation. This is called prophecy. This is called prophecy. And we're going to unpack this. I'll give you an example. Last weekend up there, there was a lady, a visitor, and I grabbed a pack and I ran up the stairs and I went and gave it to her. It wasn't planned. It's just like we were all helping because we had quite a number of people to get the packs out to. But when I came onto the mic and I took the mic, when I came onto stage and I took the mic, I was encouraged. If you were here, you would remember. I was encouraged to exhort her, to encourage her. I was encouraging. God showed me that I can't remember it all because that's what normally happens with prophetic words. That's how come you need to record them. But God showed me that she'd gone through a tough time, and these words came out of my mouth that there is a light at the end of the tunnel for her. Now, I couldn't see the emotions. I couldn't see her response. I was just here, just saying it out as God had put on my heart. But afterwards, the lady that had invited her to the service came to me in the foyer, and she said, I was so spot on. She was in tears. And she said to her friend, she had to say to her friend, you know what, I promise you, I did not tell Pastor JJ anything. The question that I have for you is, did she get a touch from heaven that day? Yes, she did. Does she know that God loves her from that day? Yes, she does. Another question, do you think she's more open to God now than what she was when she walked through those doors in the first place? Yes, she is. She will be. Now, that is just one way that God can use you, yes, you, can use you to bring heaven to earth. You see, living a prophetic life is not just for the platform. Living a prophetic life is not just for the pastor or the prophet or a life group leader. Living a prophetic life is for every believer, including you. Doesn't matter your age, doesn't matter your background. What does it mean living a prophetic life or prophetic living? Prophetic living is very simple. It's number one, being in tune with God's voice. In other words, being in tune with who He is and His voice. Number two, it's being aware of His plans. Number three, it's being obedient to His promptings. And number four, it's acting as His messenger to the world. Number one, tuning. Number two, being aware of His plans. Number three, being obedient. Number four, acting as His messenger. It's as simple as that. Each one of us can do it. Actually, each one of us are called to do this. And it'll be more, you'll understand it better as we unpack this. But I want to unpack two myths. Myth number one is this, that prophecy has passed away. It is Old Testament. That is not true. You see, firstly, the greatest example of a prophet was Jesus. Jesus was the best prophet that we have, the greatest of all prophets. He was the spokesperson or a spokesman which God had sent to the world. The Father used Jesus who spoke to the people on behalf of Him. When you look at Jesus and His relationship, it was all about relations. It was all relational. It was done in smaller groups like life groups, and it was done in larger groups when he was standing, speaking to the multitudes. It was done in various areas. Scriptures also in the New Testament reveal that prophecy is for today. In 1 Corinthians 12, you have the gifts of the Spirit. It reads as follows. Now about the gifts of the Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. Verse 7 says, Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. There it is again, for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit. Verse 9, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by one Spirit. Verse 10, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy. There it is, prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and still to another the interpretation of tongues. Ephesians 4 verses 11 to 16 is the blueprint when it comes to the fivefold ministry. Prophecy is part of that. The prophet is part of that. It starts off with apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, and teacher. Now, you can look at these scriptures and use and say, well, it says there, JJ, to another prophecy is given, which doesn't include me. And Ephesians 4:11 refers to the office of the prophet, which brings me to the next myth that I want to attack, so to speak. And that myth is only the prophet can prophesy. That is a lie from hell. You see, the gift of prophecy is for everyone. Let me give you some scripture. 1 Corinthians 14 verse 1. By the way, there's some homework. Go and read 1 Corinthians 14 this whole week and you will read this yourself. Follow the way of love and eagerly desire spiritual gifts, especially the gift of prophecy. This is New Testament, by the way. 1 Corinthians 14, 31 says, for you can all prophesy in turn so that everyone may be instructed and encouraged. There is that word again, encouragement. Romans 12, 6 says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 39, the Passion Translation says, so beloved friends, with all this in mind, be passionate to prophesy. Don't be, I'm going to prophesy. Be passionate to prophesy. Yes, say that to your neighbor, be passionate. And don't forbid anyone from speaking in tongues. But then in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 5, this is the scripture that for me shows the importance of prophecy for our lives today. It says this, the writer says, now I want you all to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. I want you to speak in tongues, but even more to prophesy. This one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets so that the church may be built up. You see, Paul expresses his desire for the Corinthian churches, the Corinthian Christians, to engage in both speaking in tongues and prophesying. But he emphasizes the superiority of prophesying over speaking in tongues. Why? Because prophesying, which involves speaking a message from God to the people, is more beneficial for the edification and instruction of the whole church. Boom. Everyone can prophesy. And everyone is encouraged to prophesy. Why? So that the entire community of believers is edified and built up. It's not about one. It's the entire. This is God. This is how God works. He wants all of us to be edified. He wants all of us to be built up. It was and it still is today about building up and benefiting the entire community. Which brings me to another scripture, which I love. Very interesting scripture. Revelation. Anybody read the book of Revelation? It's not the easiest book to read. Good on you. Revelations 19:10 says this, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Why do I love this? Because as you share your testimony of what Jesus has done, so your story, what God has done, you know that, oh, God did this for me. That is what we call a testimony. Because as you share your testimony of what Jesus has done, what you don't realize at that moment as you share your testimony is that at the same time you are prophesying that he will and wants to do it again. Why? Because, number one, he's a good God. He's a good father. And number two, he never changes. Number three, he wants what he has done for you to be done for another because he is a good God. And that's why, folks, testimonies are so important. When you have a testimony, guess what? You can prophesy. How can you prophesy? By telling those around you about it. And as you testify, guess what? You are encouraging them that in their situation, God can bring a breakthrough. Prophetic prophecy. Testimony should never be kept to yourself. So, as you can see, you and I cannot escape the fact that we are called to prophetic living. We are all called to prophetic living. So let's unpack this. What is prophecy? It's going to be on the back. I'm not even going to try and pronounce this. Prophecy is revealing the divine, speaking under inspiration, exercising the prophetic office, foretelling events. Notice here, it's not just about telling the future. It is God being revealed to others. You are perceiving, and as you are listening into him, as you are pushing in, you are hearing what he's trying to say, and then you communicate to others so that God can be revealed to them through you. That is prophetic living. Let me put it another way. Prophetic living is when you're a willing being. You are a believer, and you're willing to be guided by God. So you, as you are guided, you hear. As you hear, you are obedient to the guidance of the Holy Spirit. As you are hearing and you're being guided, you receive a word or a picture or an unction. As Wei was explaining, that picture or that unction or that dream. And as you receive that, guess what you're getting? You are getting direction. You are getting edification. You are getting encouragement from the throne room of God through the Holy Spirit for the edification of another, for the other person. This is important, the throne room. It's not just another good idea that you are receiving. You've got to realize this, that you are receiving a message from the Almighty God himself from the throne room of heaven. That's how you have to see it. You cannot just push it aside. He is coming. He is entrusting you with a picture. He is entrusting you with a vision. He's entrusting you with a word, with an unction. To do what? To reveal to another person that he himself is God. It's an honor. That's how we should see it. As an honor, as a privilege to be used by God to bring a word or a vision or a picture to somebody else from the throne room. When I got that realization, it all shifted for me. Because I remember that day, it was like there was this weightiness that came on me, this responsibility that came on me. Because I went, oh my gosh, it's not just another idea. It's not just a silly little picture. It's not just silly little me. This is God entrusting me from His amazing, holy throne room. I love Psalm 14, verse 2. Very descriptive. The Lord looks down in love, bending over heaven's balcony, looking over all of Adam's sons and daughters. He is looking to see if there is anyone who acts wisely and who are searching for God and wanting to please Him. What a picture. Here's God Almighty. He bends over His balcony and He's looking over the sons and daughters of Adam. That's you and I. He's looking for those people who are acting wisely and who are searching God and who are wanting to please Him. God is waiting for us as the church to rise up. He's waiting for us to take our rightful place. But He's waiting for us. Hear what I'm saying today. He's waiting for us to step and take on that prophetic living seriously. He's waiting. He's waiting for you and me. Don't think it's your brother next to you or your husband or your spouse or your partner next to you or the person in front of you or it's Pastor JJ. It's all of us, young and old, in between, the whole lot. It's for all of us. So let's put it simply. Prophecy is communication from God to mankind through mankind. That's prophecy. Say it another way. Prophecy is a word from God through mankind to mankind. We have a responsibility. The Old Testament prophets were a mouthpiece for God. They listened to God and then they conveyed the message. Elijah, Isaiah, Moses, Jonah, nothing's changed. But now there's not just one person. We're all appointed as God's mouthpiece, the whole lot of us. Did you know that the literal translation of the word prophet means spokesperson? You're a spokesperson. Spokesperson who represents the words of Christ. In the Hebrew, the word prophet is Navi, spelled N-A-B-I, Navi. It means to bubble forth, to bubble as from a fountain. In Simon, in 1 Samuel 9:9, there was another word that came forth. There was Roeh, R-O-E-H, Roeh, which was translated as seer. Different names, but the same purpose. As a seer is one who receives a vision or insight from God and communicates it to others. What can we conclude from this? You know what? At the end of the day, God wants to reveal words. He wants it to bubble forth, but He also wants to give us the dreams and the seeing and the visions so that we can describe and be creative and release the creativity within. Is this helping? So, let's get practical. Where does it all start? How does it all start? Easy. Hearing. You see, God uses all your spiritual senses as well as your physical senses. How do you hear? Your spiritual senses and your physical senses. You can pick up His voice with your spiritual senses, but you can also pick up His voice with your physical senses. It might not be an open vision or an audible voice or a trance. It might not be any of that, but you know what? It comes down to that daily ability of hearing. And how does hearing start? With awareness, being aware of His presence. Numa East, His presence is our priority. Why is His presence our priority? So that we can become aware. so that we can know, whew, that was God. I'm feeling God right now. I'm feeling a sense of just his warmth. And right now, I've got goosies all the way down. Holy bumps, glory bumps, all the way down. As we linger in his presence, as our worship team linger longer, it's not, oh my gosh, can you please just finish the song that we can move on? No. We're becoming aware of his presence, because as we become aware of his presence, so we can distinguish, is this his voice, is this my voice? So that we can distinguish, oh, God's on this right now. And then when we are aware, we can hear. And when we hear, we can be obedient. And when we're obedient, we can deliver. It all works hand in hand, people. Dr. Sharon Stone, a world-renowned prophet, puts it this way. She says, the Holy Spirit is in communication with my spirit through one of my spiritual senses. He then communicates it from my heart to my head so that I can process it with my mouth. We have to know. Sometimes we get in this tussle. Is that my voice? Is that God's voice? I think it's more me than what it is God. Anybody experience that? Only three of you, plus myself. Okay. If we want to be real with ourselves, that's where we is. Is this my voice? Is this God's voice? You know what? That's the enemy as well, because the enemy wants to bring in the spirit of confusion. But at the end of the day, what we have to know is that my sheep know my voice. John 10:27, how do the sheep recognize the voice of the shepherd? They spend time with him. The sheep, this is in the natural, like in the those kind of sheep, they know the shepherd's voice because they know of the one who feeds them. They know of the one who guides them. They know of the one who protects them. It's the same in the spiritual. It's the same in the supernatural. When you spend time with Papa God, when you spend time with Jesus, when you spend time with Holy Spirit, he's going to be the one that feeds you. He's going to be the one that guides you. He's going to be the one that protects you. And you're going to know his voice. That's why spending time with God in the morning before you leave the house is integral in your life. It's integral. You cannot afford to leave home without spending time with God. You have to. Not because JJ says so. I know for myself, if I leave home without spending time with God, it's chaotic that day. It's chaotic. But spending time with Papa God, spending time in his presence, got music playing, and spending time with him, it's like the shalom of heaven. The peace beyond all understanding just permeates me. That when I walk out of the door, doesn't matter what the world throws at me, doesn't matter what argument I walk into, doesn't matter what situation, I am carrying the peace of God where I'm going. It's important. That was just a little bit of a freebie. Don't know why, but it's not in my notes. So what is our response? What is our response when we sense, when we become aware? We are obedient and reverent of heart. How do we become a reverent of heart? We put Jesus into the center because it's all about him. You see, prophetic word is not about releasing a powerful word or a powerful gift. It's about releasing Jesus to people. It's about releasing Jesus to people. You go into your workplace, it's about releasing Jesus to people. You go to Aldi, it's about releasing Jesus to that checkout check. You go to your school, to wherever you go, you're releasing Jesus to the people. How do you deliver a prophetic word properly? You bring it, and I've written it down this way. You make your mouth match how you received your revelation. It's all going to be on the board. You make your mouth match how you received your revelation. What do I mean by that? You start off with, the Lord showed me. Means you saw a picture. Wade was talking about, he saw a picture. The Lord showed me. Means you saw a picture. I perceived something. Means that you sensed something. You sense something. I heard something. Means that you heard in your spirit a word or even a declaration, but you heard it in your spirit. This is the way, and then your mouth, this is the way that you deliver it, but you deliver it, your mouth needs to match how you received your revelation. And then I want to say this, your revelation, that whatever you release, needs to be accurate.
Please do not fluff it up. Please do not make it even try and be bigger than what it actually was. Please do not try and add to it either. If God gives you a word, it's one word. I got a word the one time, rainbow. Who knows that the rainbow is used for things that... Hello? Not Noah. All right? So I get the word rainbow. I'm like, are you serious, Lord? Rainbow? So I get this lady. I got to go and give her this word rainbow. And I'm like, okay. Oh, this looks a little bit stupid, Lord. Give her a word rainbow. I walk up to this lady. I go, I just sensed that I need to let you release this one word. Yep, she's expecting. I'm going, rainbow. Boo! Okay. Whew. Got that one right. She's crying at least. There's a little bit of emotion. I touched the nerve. So I said, what does it mean? You know, I'm inquisitive. I mean, one word. You know, I could have come and gone, oh, as I was driving, I saw a rainbow and I really, and all the colors. I could have added to it. It's not what God wanted. One word. I released that one word. When she got herself, lots of tissues, when she got herself together, she said to me on the way, before I left home, I said, God, in this situation, I want you to show me a rainbow. Clear skies. No rainbow. She arrives at church. No rainbow. She's feeling despondent. JJ walks over and gives her the word rainbow. She asked. She received. Not the way that she wanted it to happen, but God still brought it around. That's how come it's so important to make it as accurate as possible. Let's conclude this. Many times we have a testimony. And the testimony is, it's a big testimony. It's an amazing testimony. But many times we don't share the testimony. And the reason why we don't share the testimony is because we think, oh, it's just a silly testimony. It's just a silly story. You know, people think that I'm stupid. But I want to tell you this, that when you don't share a testimony, coming to the testimony of Jesus, the spirit of prophecy, you are actually robbing a person of what God wants to say to them. I'm using Tim as an example. Tim's over here. He's praying out of God. God, I need a word. God, you got to come. You got to show me. On this side, you got little Paulina. God's giving her a word. She goes, oh, I don't know if that's a word. I don't know. I don't know if that is Jesus. I think this is more one. And no. She's having this argument with God. Meantime, Tim over this side, he is sweating blood. He is crying out to God for this word. But Paulina here is arguing. She's not obedient to God because she is struggling with all her own stuff. Now, if she doesn't walk over and give Tim the word, because God's chosen her to give the word, guess what? She robs Tim. And Tim, in this point in time where he's looking for an answer, doesn't receive his answer. Why? Because Paulina is disobedient. This is the importance. Many times in our life, Paulina and I, in our family, we've been crying out for God to come and confirm, for God to come and encourage us, for God to come and give us a word. And there has been people on this side that have meant to have given the word, but they felt silly about the word. And when they eventually come over this side, we're like, could you have given that to us 3 weeks ago? Because they're like, oh, 3 weeks ago, I was spending time with Jesus 3 weeks ago and I got this word and 3 weeks? Hello? I was on my knees. I've got these massive corns on my knees. I'm bleeding through over here because you were three weeks? I didn't say that, but I felt like saying that. So my encouragement to you in all of this is, you know what? You need to be obedient when the prompting comes because you are called for prophetic living. Each one of you are called.
Anybody here had to apply for a visa? Come on, raise your hands nice and high. Visas, those who have gone through visas. Yeah, I see your hands. Who knows the pain of visas? Yep, yeah, I'm seeing those hands. Guess what? I'm going to share a testimony. We have a lady in our house. She came up about 2 weeks ago down the front for prayer during the altars. And she said, I'm going to the immigration officer and I need breakthrough with my visa. For 8 years, my visa has not been approved. Not 8 months, 8 years, and I haven't seen my children. But if they don't approve it now, I need to go back. And I'm like, hold on, wait a minute. I led this lady through this whole thing of we prayed for the immigration officer. We also prayed a prayer of forgiveness that she would forgive the previous immigration officers. This is important for withholding her visa. The next week, she walks into this house, which was actually last week, and she's sharing the testimony with everybody that she went to the immigration officer and her visa was approved. Come on, that's something that you've got great glory for. Her visa was approved. Now, that's a testimony of Jesus. Only those who've gone through visa issues know the pain of visas. But the testimony is even greater than that. Because I even declared, I prophesied into the situation and I said, before you even leave that office, I declare that you will know the answer. Her immigration officer says to her, she says, we don't normally do this because we normally send out letters, but I need you to know before you leave that I'm approving your visa. Come on, come on. This is something to get excited about, people. This is the God that we serve. There's power and life and even death in the power of your tongue. You can be sitting here and you can prophesy into a situation and you can shift history because of your prophetic word. You can shift history. You are all atmosphere shifters. You are all world changers, the whole lot of you. Doesn't matter how old you are, doesn't matter how young you are, doesn't matter your background, doesn't matter where you come from, doesn't matter what country you come from, doesn't matter what mom and dad and granddad and the others have done. Doesn't matter. You are a world changer.
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Now, we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that he, Jesus, demonstrated his love for us that while we were still sinners, he died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that he gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that he is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God. I thank you that you love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow you. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after you. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.